Good morning. There's some seats up front. If any of the children want to come and sit in the front row, you can just come on up while we sing the first song. Somebody have a song you'd like to sing? Yes. 43? Okay. Is that in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Have a song you'd like to sing? Okay, how about we sing number 41? Around the throne
of God in heaven will many children sing.
This down here. Okay. Someone else have a song you'd like to sing?
43.
Number 43. One door and only
one. Insides are good. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only.
Why don't we pray and ask the Lord's help before we continue? Our God and Father, we give thanks for this new day. We give thanks for the sunshine. We give thanks for all the boys and girls who are here this morning. And we just ask for your help today as we consider the gospel for the children. We just commit this day into your hand, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, someone else have a song you'd like to sing? Number 40. Jesus loves me. I see there's a little difference in everybody today. Everybody's dressed up nice, even me. I'm dressed up, got a tie on, got a little pocket puff to make me look nice. We look good, don't we? And you boys and girls, you got all cleaned up, maybe you even had a bath this morning, or last night, or yesterday. But we get all cleaned up and nice, we look good. And we're ready for the day, and that's good, because the Lord Jesus is worth our honor and our respect and praise. Someone else have a song you'd like to sing this morning? Yes, Evan. 21?
41.
We sang that once already. Do you have another song you'd like to sing?
42.
Good one. A little
child of seven.
Dressed this morning, your mom probably said, "Oh no, you can't do that. You got to put your good shoes on, or you can't wear your sneakers, or you got to wear a tie, or you got to something's just not quite right." And she so, but how good is good enough? How good do you have to be to go to meeting? How good do you have to get dressed up? Some maybe get dressed up nicer than others, and for some, to be dressed up isn't what other people think it is. How good is good enough? I remember when we were homeschooling our kids, one of the kids, he knew that if he got 90% on the practice test, he didn't have to do the real test. And so he would do 90% and he wouldn't do the rest of the test. And we'd say, but you didn't finish these questions. Oh, I don't have to. I already have 90%. He knew just how good enough he had to do to pass the grade. And if you're going to do a test at school, you want to know, well, what's the passing grade? How good do I have to do to pass the test? There is another boy, and he would go to school, and he would think that he could just write down any old answer for his answers. And sometimes we do that. We get tired. We don't want to really spend time on our test. And so we just write down any old answer, and because we want to get finished and we want to go out and play. And we never do anything, do any better. And we're not worried about how good enough we do. And I remember when I was in school and in math, I was trying to get ahead of the class. And I was usually pretty good at school. And I didn't have to worry about grades. But so I continued to try to work ahead in math. And I found another friend in the class that he had taken the teacher's school book and written down all the answers for several chapters ahead. And I knew that wasn't right. I wasn't going to borrow the teacher's book to do that. But I borrowed his notebook. And I got ahead in class. And when I graduated that year, I went out swimming. And because I cheated to try to get ahead because I was lazy. I didn't want to do what I had to do. Well, I was out swimming that summer and I dove off the rock and down into the stream. But I didn't jump out far enough and I landed on my head. And Mr. Berry, he was downstream and he pulled me out and they took me to the hospital. After that, I couldn't think right for doing my math. Because I cheated, I couldn't get ahead in math. And the Lord had to punish me for that. How good do we have to be to pass our grades? There is another young man. Well, a lot of us are like this. We know all the answers because we went to Sunday school for so many years. So we know all the answers. We can say the verses. I'm not going to ask you to say a verse today. But you know all the verses. You know how to answer the questions. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. And you don't dare do what's wrong when you're in front of other people. I was like that. But when your mom or your dad tells you, okay, it's time to go to bed, or you can't go play basketball, or we get angry. And we try to manipulate her mother and twist her mind to try to make her agree with us. And that's sin. That's sin. We think we're good enough the way we are and we don't want to change. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We don't want anyone to tell us that you're a sinner. And we look good, but we are. But inside, we're not so good. We need to have the inside good as well. But how good, that brings us to the question, how good do you have to be to get to heaven? Here you are at Sunday school this morning and we're listening to the gospel. How good do you have to be to get to heaven? When I was in Malawi, I would ask, we were teaching the people and we asked the question, how do you get saved? And one boy raises his hand and he says, stop stealing. So I said, okay, stop. Who taught you that? Oh, the Sunday school teacher. Who's the Sunday school teacher? And so we had the teacher stand up. What are you teaching these children? How do you tell them how to get saved? And from all around. Everybody's telling her, believe, believe, believe. And so she says, believe. Can you get to heaven to stop stealing? Will that help you? I don't think so. I don't think so. How good do you have to be, though, to get to heaven? How good is good enough? When I was in school, we had a gymnastics coach. And he would tell us, what looks good is good. And for gymnastics, that may work. But to be fit for heaven, that doesn't work. Just because you look good on the outside doesn't mean you're that good on the inside. To be fit for heaven, you need to be good on the inside. You know, maybe you've heard this story before, but there was another time we were in Malawi, and this lady, she was going to have a baby. But she didn't want the baby. And so she went into the when the baby was ready to be born, she went into the toilet. And there's a hole in the toilet on the floor. She had the baby and she didn't want the baby. So she took the baby and pushed it down into the hole and put it down into the toilet, into the outhouse. And the baby was crying. And the mother left and she never ever came back. She didn't want the baby. The people in the village, they heard the baby crying. So they went and took the toilet apart and they reached down into the slop and pulled the baby out. And the baby was dirty and it stunk. And they took the baby, they cleaned it up. And they put nice clothes on it. And they gave it good food to eat. And the baby started to get better and it started to be healthy. But you know what? The baby looked good on the outside. But inside, the baby had disease. And it had HIV and AIDS. And it was sick. And it was dying on the inside. But it looked good on the outside. And they dressed it up. And they cleaned it up. And it looked real nice. It wasn't long before the baby died. You need to be good on the inside to get to heaven. Not just on the outside. It won't do you any good just to stop stealing. To stop your jealousy. To stop your lies. To stop your fighting. To stop your disobedience against your mother. That's not a decision that you can make that will save you. You can't make a decision just to do good. Maybe you think, well, if you help others, or if you give money, it's going to help you to get to heaven. It doesn't work that way. You can't be good enough. You can sit there and try to be good, but there's going to become a temptation and you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to sin. If you want to go to heaven, you need to know how good do you have to be to get to heaven? How good is good enough to satisfy God? Well, there's a verse in Matthew 5, verse 48. And while you're looking that verse up, there was another verse that there was a man, he came to the Lord Jesus. And he said to him, Master, good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This man came to the Lord Jesus. He thought he could be good. He thought he could do something to obtain eternal life, to be saved. But there was no good thing he could do. And here's another verse in Matthew 5, verse 48. This tells you how good you have to be in order for you to get to heaven. And it says, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. How does that happen? How can you be as perfect as God? Can you be as good as God? Well, that is the standard. If you want to get to heaven, you need to be righteous. You need to be holy. You need to be as good as God. But for us, that is impossible. That is impossible. The only way for you to be clean, the only way for you to be righteous, is to have your sins taken away. You need to be saved from your sin. You need to have the sin taken off your record. If you boys and girls, if we had a sign up here and we had your name on it and we listed all your sins, on that. You disobeyed mom. You stole a cookie. You cheated on a test. You put all your sins down there. How are you going to get them off the record? You're guilty. You can't get rid of them. You can't be good enough to take away those sins that have been written down. You've already done them. You need to have those sins taken off your record. So it is not the good people who go to heaven. It's a sinner. If you want to go to heaven, it needs to be a sinner who's been saved by the grace of God. He is the one who's going to go to heaven. You boys and girls, you can only get to heaven when you're saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to put your trust in Him. You can't put your trust in sitting here and looking good on the outside and making everybody think you're a Christian because you're sitting here and you're looking nice. That doesn't get you to heaven. And it doesn't help because your mom and dad are saved. That doesn't get you to heaven. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And verse 5. It says here, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. That's good things. Not by being good and trying to be righteous and do good things. That's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's a difficult verse to understand, but mercy. Mercy, when you have sinned against your mom or your dad or against the Lord Jesus, mercy is getting something that you don't deserve. Or not, it's not getting what you do deserve. You need to be punished. But the Lord Jesus is willing to not punish you if you accept the work that He did on the cross. The Lord Jesus came because He loved you, boys. Hey, girls, He loves you too. And He died on the cross because He loves you. Because He doesn't want you to be punished. So He took the punishment for you if you will accept Him. And so, we need to have the inside cleaned up. When you look at me, you see, oh, I look pretty good on the outside. But what do I have on the inside? You don't know me much. A lot of you don't even know my name. My name's Tim or Mr. Roach. But you still don't know who I am. You think I'm good because I'm standing up here talking to you. And maybe because I have a pocket puff, you think I'm pretty nice. But what is on the inside of this nice suit? I'm going to take my jacket off. Oh my. My, oh my. What is this? Anger, lost in sin, liar, thief, fighting, a wretch like me, jealousy, bad news, disobedient to mom, and me a bad sinner. I looked good when I came into this room. Nice tie. Nice jacket. Look good. What can I do to take this sin away? What will work? How do I get these things off of my shirt? More importantly, what's on your heart? What's inside of you? Your sin. Your disobedience. How are you going to get your disobedience off of your heart so the Lord Jesus can come in? Because the Lord Jesus can't come into your heart when it has sin on it, in it. Some people tell you, oh, I have to ask the Lord Jesus into my heart to be saved. But if you have a sinful, dirty heart, the Lord Jesus can't come in. So we can't ask the Lord Jesus to come in. We need to ask the Lord Jesus to save us from our sins. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have all this badness on me. I need to get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? It's only in the blood of the Lord Jesus. I can take this shirt off, but the sign is still here. It's still dirty. Look at this. Would your mom let you wear this to meeting? My mom doesn't know about it. So, can we just throw it in the garbage? Yeah, we'll just throw it in here. And, you know, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And I'm going to shake this up and see if we can't get it clean. Now, it's not the blood of Jesus that's going to clean my shirt. But it's the blood of Jesus that's going to clean your heart from sin. So while I'm shaking this, we're going to sing one verse of number 32. What can wash away my sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that not one spot remains. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. Okay, let's see what happens here to this shirt. It's clean. It's clean. Amazing. Look how white and clean that is. It's beautiful. There's no lies. There's no fighting. It's clean. You can have your heart look like this. All that sin that you've done, you can have a nice, clean heart that the Lord Jesus can come into. Do you want that? Do you want to stop disobeying your mom? Do you want to start doing good in your school? Do you want to start paying attention to the teacher? Do you want to stop fighting and arguing? Ha ha. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse your heart from sin. When you tell the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that You came into this world. I believe that You are God. I believe that You took the punishment for my sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. And He will wash away your sins, just like this nice white shirt got cleaned up by shaking it in a bag. You can have your sins washed away when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will take away all your sin. Remember the sign that we had with all your sins on it? That the Lord's going to wipe that sign clean. He's going to throw the sign away because there's no more sin. Because the Lord Jesus saved you. He washed your sin away. And if you sin again tomorrow, that's all. That sin's already been washed in the blood of Jesus. It's already gone because the Lord Jesus took the punishment for you at the cross. But now, when the Lord Jesus takes your sin away, He gives you something else. He gives you eternal life. The Spirit of God can now live in your heart because your heart has been cleaned from sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, He died for our sins. He shed His blood they buried Him. And on the third day, the Lord Jesus rose again, and He had victory over sin and over death and over Satan. And the Lord Jesus wants to give you victory over sin. When you go to school, you have struggles because you don't want to do it. When you come home and you have to obey your mom, you don't want to do it. But the Lord Jesus, He wants to give you victory over those sins, over those temptations. And it's because He's washed your sins away. He's given you eternal life, and He's given you the Holy Spirit. And so you have the power and the ability to obey your mom. You have the ability now to obey the teacher and to try hard to do your schoolwork. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You know, there's a sad story of a little girl who disobeyed her mom. We were out at the Grand Canyon a few months ago, and I found this book. And in the book, there were stories about people who had died at the Grand Canyon. Well, this little girl, and she was with her family, and she kept running up to the edge of the canyon and looking over. And the mother pulled her back. No, don't go out there. Stay behind the fence. And the little girl, she wouldn't do that. She got away from mom, and she ran over and played over here, and she wanted to throw stones and play over by the edge. And her mother said no. And finally the mother took her by the cheeks and said, "Don't you go over there. You're going to die. You're going to fall over." And she pulled away from the mother and she ran over and she slipped. And she fell. And she fell. And she fell 600 feet down to the bottom. At the bottom she crashed. That little girl will never disobey her mother again, because she's dead. She hit the rocks at the bottom and she died. God says that the wages of sin is death. And if you continue on, boys and girls, if you continue on to disobey your mom and you don't care about it, the wages of sin is death. You may not fall off the edge of a cliff, but when you stand before the Lord Jesus, the one who loves you, the one who died for you, when you stand there before Him, He says, "Who are you? What do you want?" And you say, "Well, Lord, I said all the verses, but I didn't believe in You." Lord Jesus is going to say to you, "I don't know who you are." He's going to tell His angels to take you and tie you up and throw you into hell, the lake of fire, and you're going to fall. And you're not going to stop at 600 feet. You're going to keep on going and going and going, like the bottomless pit. Boys and girls, hell is not a game. It's not a game that we test our mom and dad with. Hell is serious punishment, and God isn't there. The Lord Jesus isn't there. The Lord Jesus loves you. He wants you to come to Him. And that's why He says to you today, He says, "Come unto Me." The Lord Jesus said, "Suffer the children to come, little children to come unto Me." He wants the big children too, and the adults. He wants you to come to Him today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Maybe we could pray, but before you leave, I have one other thing to say. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We give thanks that He came into this world knowing that we were sinners, knowing that He was going to go to the cross, knowing that our sin was going to be put upon Him, knowing that He was going to be punished for our sins, knowing that His blood would be shed. Lord Jesus, we thank You for all of this. We thank You for making a way for boys and girls, men and women, to have our sins washed away, washed clean and white in the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We give thanks for this. We just pray, if there's anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they might come and find out how to be saved. We ask this, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to finish singing that number 32. And while we sing, I want you boys and girls, you got a choice to make today. And here's your choice. When we're finished singing, I'm going to go back to my chair just over there. And your choice is, you can get up and you can leave and you can go out of that room. And you can ignore the gospel and get a little closer to hell. And have a chance of falling into the abyss, into the lake of fire. Or you can come and talk to me, and I'll help you try to understand how you can be saved. Okay, let's finish singing number 32, verse 2.
For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the soul that makes me white as snow.
Boys and girls, remember your choice.